It's been interesting going through this theme called All In. And then wearing a bracelet that says All In, this week, you know, it's led to a lot of different conversations. People are like, what does that mean to be all in? It's given me the opportunity to talk about how Jesus gave his all for us, and he expects us to give our all back to him as an expression of our worship. But not only has this been a great way to lead to gospel conversations, it's also been a great thing for me personally. Because every time I look at my wrist this week, it reminds me that God has expectations of me. And I want you to think about that today. God has expectations of you and for your journey. And as you lead your families and as you live in this world, God has an expectation for us. And you know, I believe 1 Corinthians 9:24 is probably one of the most inspirational and motivational verses in all the Bible for that reason. In this verse, Paul says, "Don't you know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to win the prize." And I love that verse. When I read that verse, it pumps me up. It makes me assess my journey differently. It makes me evaluate my pursuit differently as a father and as a husband, as a friend, as a pastor, as a Christ follower. And it reminds me that in this life, we've only got one shot to get this right. I want you to put your finger on your pulse real quick. You feel that it's moving, it's beating. Listen, he says, in this life, you got one shot to get it right. And Paul says, and for that reason, you better run this race well. You better run hard. Run the race to win the race. And listen, I don't know about you, but I want to win. I want to experience victory. Anybody just raise your hand as a testimony? He says, I'm with you, man. I want to win the victory. I want to be victorious. I want to have a gold medal family, a gold medal marriage. I want to live a gold medal life for the kingdom of God. That makes a difference in 100 years. And so Jesus says, run hard, run well. But let me just tell you from the very get-go, in my experience running this race, there are times in the journey when I'm running and my side starts to hurt. Where I'm running and I start to get winded. I'm running and there are times when I get knocked down on the track. And I'm going to be honest, it's hard to get back up and start running again. Have you ever been there before? Are you able to relate to that today? You're running your race with the Lord, the race that God called you to run. And you're trusting God along the way and you're trying to be faithful along the way. And you're making your way around the track when all of a sudden life happens. Tragedy strikes. You experience a setback, an unexpected setback in your journey, and you come face to face with an obstacle that maybe you don't even think you can overcome. You ever been there before? Personally? In your family? You lose your job, and you have no idea what to do next? Your spouse walks out of you and says, I'm never coming back again. Don't even try to come after me. Maybe your kids are prodigals and they're leaving the Lord, they're leaving the church and they're doing their own thing. Maybe your parents get divorced or the people in authority over you make dumb decisions or maybe your loved one gets sick or even worse, your loved one passes away and you're the one left here asking the question, why? Why, God? Why now? Why them? Why is this happening to me? Let me ask you, how do you overcome an obstacle in your life like that? How do you overcome an obstacle in your family like that? After your feet get knocked out from under you, how are you supposed to jump up off the track and start running the race that God wants you to run again? You know, the Bible says it's possible and that you can do it through Christ. You know, it's been fun in this series to look back at different moments in Olympic history. And as I thought about that this week, I was reminded of what happened in Rio just a handful of years ago with an athlete named Mo Farah, one of the greatest runners of all time. And in Rio, he was competing in the Olympic Games in the men's 10,000 meter race, and he was attempting to become just the second or the sixth man to win back-to-back titles in track and field history. And this time, winning the gold was going to be a little bit difficult because as he ran, his feet got tangled up with other runners, and Mo Farah found himself laying flat on his face on the track in the middle of one of the biggest races of his life. And yet, as the story continues, you can see that Mo Farah did get up in that race. And he started running the race that he knew that he could run. And at the end of this race, you know who came across the finish line first? Mo Farah. The Dutch runner, Hassan, did the same thing this week. Maybe you saw her fall down on her face and then get up and she started running and she won once again. And for me, that's a beautiful picture. Not only in sports, man, for me, it's an encouragement in life because I know what that feels like, right? I know what it feels like. And for me, that's a reminder that being knocked down is way different than being knocked out. Well, like you can knock us down, but you can't knock us out because we have Jesus in our lives. And it's a good thing to be reminded that as you face obstacles in your life and as you face obstacles in your family, this doesn't mean that you can't win the race. Yeah, you're knocked down. Like they said a second ago, join the club. We get knocked down, but that doesn't mean you have to get knocked out. If there's one person in the history of the world that would understand that, I would say that that would be Job in the Old Testament. This week I was thinking about him because, you know, he probably experienced more trouble than any other person in the history of the world. And I think back to his encouraging word to the church in Job chapter 14, 1. This is what he said. Anyone born of a woman is short of days and full of trouble. And I'm like, thanks, Job. Appreciate that, buddy. But here's what he just says. He said, hey, here's the deal. This is me telling the truth. If you're a mortal, if you are one of those people that was born of a woman, this applies to you. That's what he said. He said, your life is going to be shorter than you think it's going to be, and your life is going to be filled with trouble. Ta-da! You know, it's like, thanks, Job. But you know what? He wasn't saying anything different than Jesus. Jesus said the same thing in John chapter 16, verse 33. He said, you will have suffering in this world. Heads up, you're going to have suffering. But then he goes on to say, but be courageous. I have conquered the world. In other words, you're going to get knocked down in the race. You've either been knocked down, you are knocked down, or you're going to be knocked down. That's a part of living this life. But Jesus goes on to say, but if you have me, if you have the power that I can give you today, you have the ability to get up off the track and start running the race again. And so basically the message today is simple. Ready? Life is a race, but this race has hurdles. And we can be people that either run through the hurdles in our own strength, in our own power, or we can prepare now to overcome the hurdles and to jump the hurdles by tapping into the power of God and the wisdom of God. You know, one of the saddest moments in the Olympics in Rio was also one of the funniest, in my opinion. It happened when the men's 110 hurdles happened, and Jeffrey Joulmes, representing Haiti in this far left lane, decided he was going to run through the hurdle instead of over it. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? I mean, he's an Olympic athlete. He's a national champion representing Haiti, and he decides in that moment, for some reason, I'm going to run through it. And then when that didn't work, he's like, no, I'll just go under it. What are you doing? You're in the Olympics. But when I watched that, I was like, you know, so many times in life, that's exactly what we do. When we come to the hurdle in our life, the obstacle in our life, we think, man, I don't have what it takes to get over that hurdle. I'm just going to run through it and hope for the best. I'm just going to barrel through it in my own flesh, in my own wisdom, in my own strength, and maybe this is going to turn out great. Listen, it never turns out great. God didn't design us to run through the hurdles. But he said, you have what it takes, if you know Jesus today, to overcome the hurdles and run the race that God has for you to run. Amen? Listen, do you understand that you have what it takes today if you know Christ? That's what it says in 2 Peter 1:3. It says, his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness. He said, my power has given you everything you need in life and to be godly. You say, I just can't be godly. You can if you have the power of God. I can't overcome this obstacle. You can if you have the power of God. God said, I've given you everything you need. You say, Pastor, what exactly has God given us to prepare us for this journey? I'm glad you asked, and I hope you're taking notes today, okay? Take really good notes today because this applies to your journey. What has God given you? Number one, he's given you his power to move you. God gives us his power to move us. That's what he just said. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness. And that tells us when we fall down, when we're facing an obstacle the size of a mountain, that we can be assured that our God is big enough to pick us up and to move us forward. He gives us his power and he tells us this power, this godly supernatural power, is truly all you need in life. But not only does God give us his power to move us, secondly, he gives us his word to equip us. 2 Timothy 3:16 talks about that. It says, all scripture, the entire book, is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Check this out. So that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So this says, if you want to be equipped for life, for troubles, for hardship, for tragedy, he said, you got to know what the Bible says. You have to know it. That's why God gave us this book. He said, I gave it to you because I know you would need it. This isn't just a good book, y'all. This is God's book. This isn't filled with just good words. This is filled with God's word. And he gave it to us so that we could be completely prepared and thoroughly equipped. And so God gave us his power. He gave us his word. But third, I want you to see, he also gave us his Holy Spirit to help us, to encourage us, and to reveal his truth to us. In John 14:25, Jesus said, I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled or fearful. So once again, Jesus tells us, I've given you everything you need. He said, and because you have my Holy Spirit, you also have access to my peace. Do you get it? There's a connection there. He says, because you have my Holy Spirit, you can also have my peace. And when you have my peace, then you don't need to be afraid. So God's given us his power. He's given us his word, and he's also given us his Holy Spirit. And God reminds us that collectively, in giving of himself to us, he's given us everything we need. But sometimes if you're like me, when you're facing an obstacle right in the middle of your path, an obstacle that is overwhelming, I tend to forget that. Now, as I thought about that, you know, how in those moments I tend to lean on myself and lean on my flesh and lean on my abilities, I was reminded really of the story of Joshua in Joshua chapter 6. In fact, if you have your Bible, turn real quick to Joshua chapter 6, and we're going to unpack that story in just a moment. If you're unfamiliar with the story, let me just catch you up real quick. Up to this point in the story, you've got this guy named Moses. Moses was the leader. He had led the children of Israel out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and really through the desert for 40 years. But then when he was 120 years old, Moses died, and he left Joshua in charge. Now, at one point, Moses could literally see the promised land. He's looking at it. But God made it very clear that he wasn't going to be the one to lead his children into the promised land. And so Moses blessed Joshua because he knew that he was God's chosen leader for that moment and for that season. In fact, Deuteronomy 34:9 says, Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. So it's important when you read this to understand that Joshua in this moment, he was anointed. He was set apart for this moment. He was also blessed by Moses. And the Bible tells us that he was filled with the Spirit of Almighty God. In fact, Joshua 1:3 says, actually, God says to Joshua, I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. So I want you to understand kind of the completion of this calling with Joseph. The Bible says Joseph had the Spirit of God. He had the power of God. He also had the presence of God that was navigating his steps like a supernatural GPS system. And the Bible says he also had the promise of God, just like Moses had the promise of God. I think about the completion there, and I see that he had everything he needed to move God's people forward. And yet, even with having everything he needed, when you read the rest of the story, you see that Joshua still came face to face with trouble, just like you and I come face to face with trouble. The only difference is the obstacle in his path, it wasn't a person, it wasn't necessarily a problem, it was a city. And that city was called Jericho. Jericho was the place where they had to make a decision. Jericho was the place where they had to decide, do we continue to move forward by faith And do we continue to move forward trusting that God is going to pull through and keep his promises? Or is this the place where we pack up our stuff and go back to where we came from and forget God and give up altogether? They knew they had to get past Jericho in order to experience God's very best. You say, but how are you supposed to get past an obstacle like Jericho? I mean, it was massive. After all, Jericho was a place that had a wall 60 feet high and 30 feet wide surrounding the city. There was no human way possible that they could get through the wall. They couldn't climb it, they couldn't break through it, and they certainly couldn't tunnel under it. So what are they supposed to do in that moment as they're looking at their path ahead and they're like, man, there's a massive wall and a city prepared to destroy us. And yet Joshua 6:1 says, now Jericho was strongly fortified because of the Israelites. No one was leaving or entering. I mean, you think about it, insurmountable to say the least. How are you supposed to move past an obstacle in your path like that? And in verse 2, the Lord said to Joshua, look, I have handed Jericho, its king, and its best soldiers over to you. And you read the way that he said that. Did you hear what he just said? He said, I have handed Jericho over to you. I have handed it over to you. Did you notice the tense of the verb? He's speaking in the perfect tense in the Hebrew language, which means that God is talking about the future as if it's already happened. They're looking forward at the obstacle. God's looking past the obstacle and he's saying, hey, here's the deal. I've already handed you the victory. The obstacle you're facing is already conquered. All you have to do is move forward and trust me. Do you get that today? He's saying, I know what you're looking at is scary. I know it seems overwhelming. I know there's a voice in your head saying that it's going to be impossible to overcome. But because you're following me, because you're trusting in me, the victory is already won. The story tells us that when you're facing an obstacle, the strategy is very simple. God says, keep your eyes on me and do what I say. Man, what are you looking at today? What obstacle is in your path? Can I tell you something? The strategy should be very simple. Keep your eyes on God and do what he says. This strategy begins with step number one. And step number one should be very simple. And that is that we got to believe God. We got to believe God's promises. It's not enough just to say, oh yeah, yeah, I believe him. No, you have to truly believe him. When he tells you that you can trust God, you've got to get to a place where you truly trust him. It's not, yeah, God, I trust you, but I also have this plan B just in case you don't come through. When we get to that place where we say, okay, I'm hearing that everything I need, it comes through Christ. I hear you saying that, but we have to get to a place where we believe that he's enough. Where it's not Jesus plus something else equal victory, where it's Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Because when God says to Joshua in this passage, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, when he looks forward and said, it's already done, Joshua believed it. He had enough faith in God that he was willing to get up, put one foot in front of the other, and move forward by faith, believing that the victory had already been won. Talk about making no sense. I mean, he believed God when it didn't make sense to believe God. And you see why in the following verses. Verse 3 says, march around the city with all the men of war, circling the city one time. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry 7 ram's horns, trumpets in front of the ark. But on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times while the priests blow the ram's horns. When there is a prolonged blast of the horn and you hear its sound, have all the troops give a mighty shout. Then the city wall will collapse and the troops will advance, each man straight ahead. Here's what I want you to do right now. I want you to get the Bible stories from VBS out of your head and I want you to put yourself into this story. Because if you really think about what's happening here, it really is a mind-boggling experience. If you can think about you are him and you are hearing the instructions from God and you're looking at this massive wall and you're thinking there are soldiers on the other side of that wall. They have weapons and they're ready to wage war against us. They will destroy us. They will kill us. They will murder our families. This is going to end badly. And then you put yourself in that situation and he's like, oh no, man, y'all just get some trumpets and some ram's horns. Go blow the horns and walk around the city. It's all going to be good. You're like, what? No, I want to hear that plan again. Back that thing up. What did you just say to me? I mean, think about what he said. No, just walk around the city. It's going to be good. When the thing happens, you're going to shout and the wall's going to fall. It's going to be good. The victory's already won. Just go for it. Are you serious, God? I mean, you know that he had to be thinking. It's not in the Bible, but I just believe it happened that way. All right. I think he said, are you serious? And I've thought that a few times, by the way. Have you ever had an are you serious moment with God? You're like, I don't think I heard that right. You want me to go where? You want me to do what? You want me to give how much money? You want me to serve your church how? You want me to respond in front of all of these people and give my life to the Lord by coming up front? You want me to be baptized in a room filled with people that think I'm already saved? You want me to believe God for a miracle when logically speaking, I know that it's never going to happen? You want me to do what, God? Are you serious? Let me tell you something. Faith is the thing that turns your are you serious moments into I trust you moments. Faith changes your perspective. And guess what? Joshua had faith. And because of his faith, not only did Joshua believe God's promises, secondly, we see Joshua did what God told him to do. And if we're going to experience victory, listen, we don't have to just believe who God is and believe what his word says. Ultimately, we've got to do what God tells us to do. After God told Joshua what to do, it says in verse 7 that he said to the troops, move forward, march around the city, and have the armed men go ahead of the ark of the Lord. I mean, they did exactly what God told them to do. These people walked around the city wall 13 times in 7 days. And on the seventh day, the trumpet sounded just like God said it would happen. And I want you to look at what happened in verse 20. It says, so the troops shouted and the ram's horn sounded. And when they heard the blast of the ram's horn, the troops gave a great shout and the wall collapsed. The troops advanced into the city, each man straight ahead, and they captured the city. I mean, it happened exactly how God said it would happen. But let me ask you a question. Why did those walls fall? You ever thought about that? What allowed this obstacle to be overcome? Did the walls fall because of the trumpets? Did the walls fall because of all the people shouting? Did the walls fall because of all the people marching? No, that's not why the walls fell. You know why they fell? Look at Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. And in the same way, listen, by faith, the obstacles in front of you can be overcome. By faith and faith alone. You say, Pastor, how do we respond while facing a massive obstacle? And listen, I know that this applies to you because it applies to all of us. We face massive obstacles in front of us. And thankfully, the Lord gives us great wisdom by giving us principles in his word that I want you to consider. I want you to jot down. I want you to take to heart today as you prepare to run this race well. So the first thing I would say from God's word is if we're going to run this race well, we've got to throw off the stuff that hinders us. We got to throw off the stuff that hinders us. There are things in our life. There are sins in our world. There are parts of who we are that don't look like Jesus. And he said, man, if you're going to run the race well, you need to do surgery on yourself and remove everything that doesn't look like Christ from your life. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. He's saying to us, man, you cannot run your best race if you have things that are going to hinder your running. He's talking about the sin in your life. Maybe it's the secret sin that nobody knows about. Maybe it's a sin, a lifestyle sin that you're living in front of the whole world. It doesn't matter if it's a big sin or a small sin. The Bible says if you are living with that sin in your life, it's going to prevent you from running your best race and experiencing the victory that God has for you. You got to run well, and you can't do it by simultaneously living in sin. You know, when I was thinking about that this week, I was thinking about me personally and my personal journey, but then I started thinking about my dad, which is kind of weird. But my dad, you know, I grew up hearing about running from him. My dad was one of those guys in college. He ran track at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. And he was known really across the country for running the 400 meter hurdles. In fact, his times were some of the fastest in the country, especially his junior year. In fact, his junior year, he competed in a competition where he was trying to qualify for the Olympic trials. And I'll show you the picture of him. That's him in the green, the shorty shorts. That's him right there. And I can remember him telling me this story about this race where he's running to try to compete for the Olympic trials. And you know what? He came up less than one half a second from qualifying for the Olympic trials. A half a second. That's not very long. I mean, think about how fast that goes. That's the difference between him going to the Olympic trials or not going to the Olympic trials, and he was a half a second too slow. And there was a time where I was a little kid, and he's showing me this scrapbook and all these pictures, and he's telling me the story about how I was so close, man, I almost made it. And he showed me this picture, in fact, these pictures right here, and I was like, I know what? I know why you didn't qualify. It's because of that big mop on your head. Looking like a chia pet, man. I was like, man, listen, all you had to do was shave that mop and you could have been an Olympian, man. And that's this, when I thought about that story this week, I was thinking, man, what is it that's slowing you down? For him, it was right there, you know? So fast. I'm like, man, here's the deal. All of us need to work on ourselves today. And we need to identify the stuff that is slowing us down. We need to become more aerodynamic so we can run our best race. Can I get an amen from somebody? We need to get more aerodynamic. And there are some things in our life that we need to chip away. There are some things that we need to shave away. There are some things we need to address if we're going to be the people that God called us to be. So that's first, man. We have to be willing to address those things and to throw off the stuff that hinders us. Secondly, I would say we have also got to trust God for the strength and wisdom we need to move forward. If you don't trust God, then you're already fighting a losing battle. Isaiah 12:2 says, indeed, God is my salvation. I will trust him and not be afraid. For the Lord himself is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Listen, our tendency many times is to attempt to overcome the obstacles all by ourselves. We try to overcome the obstacles we're facing in our own strength. We want to use our intelligence or our wealth or our reasoning or our resources, our connections to take care of the problems that we're facing all by ourselves. But the Bible reminds us that God didn't design it to happen that way. It reminds us that he is our salvation. He's also our source of strength. He's also our source of wisdom. So when we find ourselves in times of trouble, we've got to be faithful to depend on him and not be dependent on ourselves. Amen? The third thing he's going to tell us is that we've got to take every thought captive. It's not just about addressing the sin. We need to address the sin. It's not just about trusting God for strength and wisdom. Ultimately, we have to take control of what's happening between right ear and left ear. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, since the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. We demolish arguments and every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God. Check this out. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ. You know what? Some of your greatest obstacles today aren't even real. You are facing an obstacle today, perhaps that isn't even real. It's just in your mind. And through different things that are happening in your life, different relationships, different hardships, different strongholds, through social media and things that are happening on technology and things you've seen on the television and things that are happening in a virtual reality somewhere else. Listen, the devil uses all things to control right here. And the Bible says we've got to be responsible to address our thoughts. Listen, when we allow our minds to be filled with fears and with worries, And with lies, we become paralyzed in the possibility of even dealing with our obstacles. Sometimes the first step we need to take in dealing with an obstacle is to simply realign our thinking to make sure that our thoughts are consistent with the Word of God. Let me give you a challenge. Next time you're out of whack and you're thinking crazy thoughts, write them down. And then dig into God's Word and talk about what God's Word says regarding your circumstance. Put them on left and then the right and make sure that they're on the same page. And if you're not on the same page, if you're out of alignment with God's Word, it ought to be a red flag to say, you know what, I'm believing the lies of the evil one right now, and I need to realign my thinking with what God's Word is really saying to me right now. Amen? Am I the only one that needs this today? Hello? Am I reading your mail today? I'm reading my own mail today. But this is what God's Word says. We got to take every thought captive. Number four, we've also got to believe that nothing is too hard for God. It's not enough to say it. You got to believe it. You got to believe that nothing is too hard for Him. I got to read this verse out of Jeremiah 32. God says, look, I am the Lord. And I believe He paused right there. I believe He paused right there because He wants us to sink in. He says, look, I am the Lord, the God over every creature. Is anything too difficult for me? Let me go ahead and give you the answer. The answer is no. Nothing is too difficult for God. Your obstacle today may be the size of Jericho. Who cares? Your God is bigger. Our God is bigger than your problems. I don't care what the problem is. Tell it to me. Write it down. Write it down. I promise God's bigger than your problem. He's bigger than your problem. You need to hear it again. He's bigger than your problem. And we've got to believe that, and we've got to understand that, because if we don't think God is capable of defending us, if we don't believe He's capable of defeating the troubles in front of us, then we're not going to go to God like we should. That may be the reason we don't go to God right now, is because secretly we don't believe He can handle it. Let me tell you something. He's bigger than your problems. And you can go to God today with confidence, and He's going to meet you at your point of need. He will never leave you hanging. So you can believe today that nothing is too big for God. Nothing is impossible with Him. Let me give you the last one, number five. We got to realize that God uses obstacles. He uses obstacles for His glory, and He uses them for His purpose. He sees the big picture when we don't. We see to the corner, God sees around the corner. He sees it all. When we see this much, and we got to understand that He uses everything, even the obstacles in front of us, for a way bigger purpose than we could ever imagine. Genesis 50:20 says, you planned evil against me. God planned it for good to bring about the present result, the survival of many people. Man, there are so many verses in the Bible just like that. They just remind us that God's in control, 100%. God is never not in control. No, it's terrible grammar. I don't really care. He is never not in control. He's always in control. We can't forget that today. That God isn't caught off guard by the obstacles that I'm facing right now. Our problems, our troubles, God has allowed those things to happen. He's prepared us to face them. And He uses every single hurdle to grow us up and to prepare us for tomorrow. And yet so many of us, maybe even in this room today, thinking this thought, if God really did love me, He wouldn't allow me to go through what I'm currently going through. We've all thought that. If God really loved me, this wouldn't be happening. And yet I want to remind you, God isn't picking on you today. He's preparing you today. I'm going to personalize that for myself. God isn't picking on me today. He's preparing me today. Would you personalize that yourself? Say that with me. Say, God isn't picking on me today. You ready? God isn't picking on me today. He's preparing me. He's preparing me today. It applies to you. You know what? He's giving you an opportunity to press into Him. He's giving you an opportunity to trust Him. He's giving you a chance to grow in your walk with Him, to give evidence of your faith in Him. Many people face obstacles in this life that ultimately end up destroying their everything. Many people face obstacles in this life that end up destroying their family. But may I remind you of something? There isn't a single obstacle that you'll face that has the power to defeat you if you're a child of the King. There isn't a single obstacle that you'll face that has that kind of power over you to defeat you if you're a child of the King. Now, it still may defeat you. We can lose sight of that. We can surrender to that. but it doesn't have the power to defeat you. You can tap into a power that is far greater than any other power in this world. The Lord gives that to us. Jeremiah 1:19 says, "They will fight against you, but never prevail over you, since I am with you to rescue you." Come on, somebody. That's like one of the best amen verses in the whole Bible. Listen, that is the word of God. And this is what he says. They will fight against you, but never prevail over you, since I am with you to rescue you. Come on. That's what God is saying to us. That's why we can walk with confidence today. That's why we can be certain that even if the obstacle is huge, that God is bigger. He's badder. He's better. He's God. And that's what he says. Let me give you another one. 2 Corinthians 4:8. He says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed." Listen, you can knock us down, but you can't knock us out. Not if we're in Christ. Not if we're in Christ. You can knock us down. You can't knock us out, because God just said, "I've got your back. I've given you the power of God. I've given you the presence of God. I've given you the promise of God. I've given you everything you need. Now all you got to do is trust me." Let me give you one more. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4. "For the Lord your God," bless you, "for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory." Amen. You got to break that down. It's like five different things he just said. Listen, this is the best verse. "For the Lord your God," let's stop right there. Is he your God? Is he your God? "For the Lord your God," check this out, "is the one who goes with you." Aren't you thankful for that? He doesn't leave us hanging. He goes with us to fight for you. Praise God for that. He's fighting for you against your enemies. Awesome. We remember who the enemies really are, to give you victory. You know what he's telling us today? Hey, I'm bigger than the barrier you face. God's saying that right now to you. I'm bigger than the barrier you face. Do you really believe that though? He's saying, "I'm more powerful than the problems in your path." You've got problems. I promise you do, because God promised you would. Do you believe that today? Today, God's saying, "Man, you got to keep your eyes on me. You got to trust in who I am. You got to do what I tell you to do." Why? Because I, and only I, can give you everything you need for life and for godliness. That's what he offers us today. That's what he offers you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37, he says, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." You are more than a conqueror because of Jesus. You're more than conquerors through him. But don't miss this fact. We will never be victorious without him. You're more than conquerors through him. You'll never be victorious without him.